We know that Arlene Foster is in London. The DUP leader there is going to talk to Theresa May about this confidence and supply agreement that is going to keep the Tories in power for how long, we do not know. But there have been many concerns expressed both here and in the north and across the water about what role and what power the DUP will have in the next British government. What will it mean for the peace process? What will it mean for gay rights, abortion in the north? And what price is Arlene Foster going to set for her support to keep May in Downing Street? Richard has been speaking to unionists and those in the know. He's with me now, as we know. What's the word on what could be the agenda for this sit down at number 10 this morning?
Yeah, it's something of a shopping list for the DUP, and it's an unprecedented bargaining position they actually find themselves in. And Jonathan, being up in Stormont there yesterday for a while, the mood was, yeah, they know it. It was almost like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. They've been handed this golden ticket. I mean, you heard from their room at Stormont, their MLAs and their newly elected MPs were in raucous mood. They were stamping their feet and whooping and cheering loudly. So understandably, Arlene Foster and Nigel Dodds, who is her leader at Westminster, they want to keep a lid on things. They're very, very keen to prevent any embarrassment or to jeopardise what is a strong position for them. So they weren't letting anybody out to actually speak to us apart from their own statement. But what about their voters, Jonathan? Now, there's a saying attributed to a former Tory minister that there's no problem in Northern Ireland that can't be solved with a good chequebook. And that's something that's certainly ringing true for DUP voters, and that is their priority. So here's some of the people I was speaking to yesterday on the Shankill Road in Belfast and in Newtownards as well.
Certainly my community are quite clear in saying we need to govern and represent the whole of Northern Ireland, and that includes our nationalist and Republican neighbours. So it's not about one community or the other, it's about Northern Ireland as a whole and indeed the United Kingdom. Let's get a deal that appeals to the majority of people in Northern Ireland. Corporation tax is an issue, bring investment to Northern Ireland. I think we also need to look at the whole welfare situation, and we know the Tories have a slightly different line, so and pensioners and other people will be looking very closely to see what happens in the coming weeks and months.
The community gets stuff done, they try and take a place for it. After a good faith agreement, you mean if someone's getting a letter to get them out of jail free card, everyone should have got that letter. There should have been no distinction between unionists, Republicans, or flipping British Army. Everybody should have been the same. You mean, it's supposed to be a country for all, equal. Let's be equal in everything that we do. Gay rights, you mean, they've got more rights, or as many rights as I have. They shouldn't be flipping prejudiced by poor people, boys and flipping crowd.
Waiting lists, definitely. Definitely health would be our main thing. For example, Bangor Hospital was closed down, and if it hadn't been for Bangor Hospital, my mum was taken great care of there, and now it's closed down. I think Theresa May needs them, and they need her.
A good deal for the Brexit and the everyday working person, really. Basically, I think the cards are in our hands.
Somebody's going to have to form a government. And if it wasn't the DUP, it would be somebody else. She asked for extra money for the health service, infrastructure, schools, roads, housing. What our party wouldn't argue for funds for their own area. The Welsh would do the same, Scottish National Party would do the same. What's the difference from the DUP doing it?
What do you think about issues like parading and victims' rights? Do you think that should be part of any deal?
No, I think that should be settled here between parties here.
Arlene Foster is going over tomorrow to talk to Theresa May. What do you think she should provide for people in Northern Ireland?
Thing is, I should.
That should be the priority, is it? But what would you like to see her do?
I tell you, Northern Ireland's not part of a state. Anything at all.
A mixture of tolerances, I think, is probably the best description you can put on that, Richard. There was a mention there about those letters for the on the runs. The Orange Order will want to see concessions as well. What are those issues like to loyalists? I mean, how important are they?
This is where it does get a little bit difficult for Arlene Foster, and at this point it's worth looking at who exactly the DUP are. Now, according to the most detailed study of the party, which was carried out by Professor John Tong of University of Liverpool, just under a third of the DUP's members are Free Presbyterians. That, of course, is the church founded by Reverend Ian Paisley. To put it in context, less than 1% of the North's population actually belongs to that church. So Free Presbyterians, more than 50 times more common in the DUP than they are in the general population. 35% of the DUP are members of the Orange Order, so that's more than 20 times more common than the general population as well. So Portadown's Loyal Orange Lodge was straight out of the traps as soon as, you know, word of this deal sort of started circulating, and they started saying, you know, thanks Arlene, we want the parading issue looked at and the Garvaghy Road and Drumcree and all that comes with it. They said that should be a high priority for the next government, And the implication there, not very subtly, being it better be a priority. So there is a pressure there. So the first voice on this issue, Richard Garland, who's a young unionist activist, talking about why these issues matter so much. And then Sam McBride of the Unionist Belfast newsletter. He says the DUP will face a backlash from its base if it doesn't act on these issues.
That's a big deal. I mean, people are talking about this coalition between the DUP and the Conservatives as breaching the neutrality requirement in the Good Friday Agreement. And I don't agree with that, but the On the Run scheme could arguably be said to have breached that neutrality. So in terms of that, there might be a view to trying to restore that to a fair settlement. I mean, it was voted by the majority of people, and we weren't aware of this side deal. It's not really fair, like, but that's just my opinion. I think maybe it could be part of it. I mean, people are talking about an Irish language act, and I do agree it's fair enough. If it was in the St Andrews Agreement, it has to be upheld. But as part of that, we need to see respect for our own culture, and that could involve, you know, ensuring that Unionist Loyalist parades are permitted in at least shared spaces. I mean, there's no reason why minorities shouldn't be allowed to see their culture in their own environment. That's my opinion.
Sam McBride, political editor of the newsletter in Belfast. I think that the DUP has been propelled to really an unparalleled position here. They've almost 300,000 votes in Northern Ireland, by far their highest vote in Northern Ireland, even though they didn't stand in one of the 18 constituencies here. But they will be acutely aware that even though they have this massive mandate, there were a lot of people who were involved in getting them there. So the Orange Order played their part in various cases in getting people registered. There was a registration drive. The Loyalist paramilitaries, of course, famously came out and endorsed them. As to whether that was worth very much, maybe it was only several hundred votes, maybe a very small few thousand votes, but all of these various people will now be queuing up at the DUP's door and saying, we delivered for you, now it's time for you to deliver for us. I don't think the DUP need to immediately come back with something for those people, but if we get to a situation where this government does survive for a very long period, those demands will become increasingly loud and increasingly public, and the difficulty for the DUP would be that if they didn't deliver for those people and there was another election, they would maybe struggle to get that support again.
So it's a bit of a tightrope for Arlene Foster. We're watching live pictures there from Downing Street where they're expecting Arlene Foster to rock up and go in with a big smile on her face. This is a bargaining position today, isn't it? This is we saw what happened over the weekend where Downing Street said the deal had been done and the DUP said, hang on a second, that no deal, yeah. No deal's done here. They do love the word no in the DUP. What about the Good Friday Agreement? What's the implications for that, Richard?
Yeah, and just on what's happening in London now, Michael Gove has been speaking in the last 2 minutes to BBC Radio. He says if Sinn Féin can work with the DUP, then I don't think it's a problem for anyone else. Somebody should probably tell him that the Assembly is still down, has been for several months. So again, a sort of a lack of understanding, I suppose you could say, of Northern Irish issues in the UK political sphere. But on these issues issues which matter to the Loyalist and Unionist communities, as well as the Good Friday Agreement, Sinn Féin are actually in a bit of a difficult position here. What happens if Arlene Foster goes over and secures a big payout for Northern Ireland in terms of grants and contracts and new roads and infrastructure? What then do they say about it? So, I mean, listening into Radio Ulster as News Talk's reception faded as I was travelling up the north yesterday, somewhere over the Mourne Mountains, a lot of people were phoning in, whether they be SDLP voters or Sinn Féin voters. They're saying, look, this is an opportunity. We don't get many opportunities like this in the north for investment and for infrastructure. Let's wait and see what Arlene Foster brings back and then judge her on it. If it's not a good deal, yes, let's kick up a fuss, but wait and see. Give it a chance. Now, Alex Kane is a unionist commentator. He explains why those issues we were talking about there, you know, parading and, you know, support or letters for on the runs from loyalist paramilitaries won't feature, and why he believes talk about the peace process being under threat is misplaced.
They won't, because May is not going to survive probably for more than about 3 months. They can't do a deal which ties in another potential leader. They'll go for hard cash, which they can then say to Sinn Féin, if we had an executive, you'll be spending this money. If you're facing it, maybe two elections in the next 3 or 4 months, that's a package you go for. There is no way Theresa May or anyone else who might be Prime Minister can do a deal with the DUP on legacy, because in so doing, she will bring down the Assembly. They can't do a deal on culture. Say, oh, that's fine, the Orange Order can have a 12th of July every month that they want. They can have every 12th is a parade. They can't do that either. So if she says, look, there was no point doing that. If I could have done that, there wouldn't be a deal now. It wouldn't have been possible. But what I have here now is a billion, which which is secured over the next year, and we have it earmarked, and this is where it's going to be spent. And it means there will be a cut in waiting lists. It means that there will be a new maternity unit. It means that that road, which we were told wouldn't be built for 5 years, will be built next year. She can sell that, because whatever people may think of parades, it's the people who need to go into hospital, whose mother's in hospital, whose kids are in hospital, who need a road to get them from A to B quicker than they are now. That's better for them than being told, oh, well, we couldn't get legacy, so we got nothing. You don't do that in politics. You go for the best you can get.
What do you think about the implications for, you know, setting up or re-establishing the Stormont Assembly?
It won't stop, because I think the important thing to remember is that most nationalists in Northern Ireland don't regard any Secretary of State or any British government as impartial, and most unionists don't regard Charlie Flanagan or Enda Kenny or whoever it may be as impartial either. They just know that both of them want to keep us at arm's length and get on with the best they can. I think there won't be direct rule, because direct rule, which everyone forgets in Northern Ireland, direct rule means the Assembly closes, the Executive's down, there are no MLAs, there are no offices, nothing, all the institutions closed. That is not going to happen. Once you return to direct rule, there's nothing here.
How long is this going to last, Richard? Because, yeah, direct rule, those talks in Stormont are ongoing. These are parallel talks about keeping the British government going. When is this going to end? When are we going to see white smoke?
Yeah, it's interesting when you note on the Stormont thing. I mean, yesterday, the mood music from both the DUP and Sinn Féin was actually quite positive. I mean, Gerry Adams was out congratulating Arlene Foster on the mandate that she received in the general election. Arlene Foster saying it was a positive meeting with Sinn Féin as well. So, I mean, there is progress being made there. I think 29th of June is the deadline there, so you're expected to see moves on that. I mean, in terms of what's happening at Westminster today, this is expected to be quite quick. I mean, it's going to be, you know, deal by deal in terms of how this actually works when it's done. So it's not as if they're hammering out a full and formal coalition agreement. One thing, actually, a point which I picked up from the DUP yesterday, they were quite surprised at how, you know, how they've been received in the British press. Like, it's almost as if they landed from the moon, and most of the UK papers had never even heard of the DUP and its positions on...
Which must have hurt them deeply.
It did. I'm sure it did. And I think this is something, there's a view that this might actually end up modernising them in a way that they might, you know, see how being dragged into the, you know, into the sort of, you know, the forefront of national politics in the United Kingdom might actually help to modernise them in the way that they're under more scrutiny and they might evolve. Whether they do or not, it's a different kettle of fish.
I'd be surprised. It took a lot longer to bring them to the position they're at now. I'd imagine massive reform will take a little bit longer. But
probably so, yeah. But one thing which is expected to feature today, and it's potentially an upside from the Republic standpoint, the DUP is a hard Brexit party. It's actually, there's no disputing that at all. It is actually even further to the right of UKIP on Brexit on a lot of issues, but they are a soft border party. They don't want to see any checkpoints along the border. They certainly don't want to see a no-deal scenario, which Theresa May has talked up. They don't want a situation as well where people travelling from the north will have to have their passports checked entering Great Britain. So nobody sees a scenario where these talks fail to bring about Theresa May as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom again. The bluff is actually called here in a way, Jonathan. The DUP, not in a million years would they want to see Jeremy Corbyn become Prime Minister. They say he's a man who's in cahoots with the Provisional Movement and the IRA and the support for them over the years. And that's something that loyalists like Ian McLaughlin and Dean McCulloch of the Lower Shankill Communities Association, they just can't foresee that.
Certainly from my point of view, the things he said about my community and the things he's done in relation to his support for the Provisional IRA, and I think most people when they look at it will see it wasn't about broken arm peace. He wasn't involved in the peace process in any way, shape or form, and all parties have confirmed that. So I think he's dangerous. I think he's dangerous not only to Northern Ireland, but I think he's dangerous to the Union as a whole. And I think he would be a dangerous person to have in government for many reasons.
So for that, with that in mind, you'd love to see Arlene Foster be able to keep him out of number 10 for as long as possible.
Absolutely. And I think even people in Labour would be saying the same thing, because I think it would be disastrous, not only economically, but in terms of defence, in terms of other policies. I think he could create real problems and real instability. So I think the majority of people, there's been a lot of hate in the media, certainly on social media there's been a lot of hate, but I think the majority of people want to see stable government. They want to see Brexit, whether it's hard, soft or whatever it is. They want to see it happen, that administered, and they want Brexit out of the way so the people can start to plan and get on with their ordinary everyday life. So in terms of our community and in terms of, you know, how I feel, it's pivotal that Theresa May and Arlene Foster form some sort of partnership and make it work.
Well, it will happen and they will make it work. We know that. One listener says, read the DUP. What does the term confidence in supply actually mean? It makes no sense. Well, we've been through this ourselves and I remember looking up the definition and I looked it up again just for the purpose of answering. A confidence in supply agreement is whereby a party or independent members of parliament will support government in motions of confidence. So there's the confidence part and appropriation or budget. Votes. That's the supply part by either voting in favour or by abstaining. But so that just it props them up.
It that's essentially it. And this is a point which the DUP are keen on as well. I mean, Theresa May actually did formally seek a full coalition with the DUP on this, but this is something that the DUP would not want to be tied into because.
Nobody wants to go into. The smaller party in a coalition always loses.
Exactly.
Even the DUP knows that.
But even from the Northern Irish standpoint, things like welfare and things like pensions are a huge issue for everybody in the North, more so than the Tories, and they wouldn't want to be hung, drawn, and quartered on Theresa May's standpoint.